Good morning. Thank you to all. Hang on, just get settled. Thank you to those of you who watched the video last Sunday and surprised to see me instead of Pastor Robin, but there you go. And today we're going to look at the theme that I talked about last week, the theme of healthy habits. And I don't know about you, but when I heard that title, I felt a bit like, can I have another one to do? Because it's a bit daunting, isn't it? Firstly, when we think about the word habit, it tends to remind me of the things that I'm going to find difficult. Maybe it's a bad habit that I know I've got that I need to break. And when you add the word healthy, it conjures up, you know, getting into running, doesn't it? Or losing weight, not eating chocolate, all those healthy habits that we think, oh, we know we want to, but then again, perhaps we don't. And all of us, I think, want to be healthy. I doubt there's anybody watching who does not want to be healthy. And yet we're not always willing to pay the price, are we, that we would have to pay in order, you know, to get that full health and fitness. You know, we'd rather have that short-term fix, that short-term block of chocolate, rather than to make the choice and the benefits that come later. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm in the dentist chair having a fill-in, which doesn't happen that often, but when it does, I'm always lying there thinking, I'm never eating sweets ever again. And of course I do. And there we go. My own fault. And in the video, I spoke about two key habits which are vital for us to have a healthy spiritual life. And they were reading the Bible and prayer. And they're probably the two key habits that we need to develop as Christians. But before we go on, I want to put a little aside. And I want to recommend a book to you. And I don't know whether you could see that on the camera. But it's called Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. And Foster called spiritual disciplines the door to liberation. The door to freedom. And who doesn't want that? And actually he goes through 12 different spiritual disciplines that can lead to spiritual growth. And we're not going to do all of this in one day. It's hard enough just getting through prayer and Bible reading. But I just want to recommend that book to you. It sounds a little like Celebration of Discipline, really. But actually it's an easy read and it's a really good book to get hold of. So we sent out some questions. Thank you to those of you who've sent in, did the little survey and sent in your answers. And the first question I posed was, how often do you read the Bible in order to hear God speaking to you? And an important part of that question was in order to hear God speaking to you. You see, it's easy these days to roll over in bed in the morning, pick up your mobile phone, see the YouVersion Bible app, think, what's the verse for today? Read it and go, oh, tick, I've read my Bible. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think the YouVersion Bible is amazing. I actually, another aside, heard that they've got about 1 billion downloads on people's phones of the YouVersion Bible, which when you think there's only about 7 billion people on the planet, that is absolutely awesome. And it's all given away free by a church in the States, which is amazing. Anyway, I digress. But, you know, just doing that is not really about reading the Bible for God to speak to you, just grabbing your phone and reading today's verse. And when we put this out, actually 76% of you said that they read the Bible every day in order to hear God speaking to them, which is a great percentage. But I want to thank you, those of you who actually admitted to less, who would have been easy to go, well, actually, I don't read it every day, so I'm just not going to answer the question. But I want to thank you for your honesty. It was really important. And you know, when we're going to read the Bible for God to speak to us, it's important to start with prayer, coming to God, thinking about, you know, what we're going to do and being mindful of it. And 24% obviously said they only read the Bible more occasionally, some admitting it was only as and when they remembered. And we want this week to be a challenge to you about how you might improve on that. The Bible's our spiritual food. Think about how you'd feel if you only ate once or twice a month, James. How would you feel about that?
Starving,
yes. We did see a little photo sent round this morning of Josh Baker, who is now back in the country. Woo-hoo! Got having a full English breakfast watching this. So just think, you know, the Bible's our spiritual food, and we'll talk a bit more about that later. So the second question was, how do you read the Bible? First was, do you use a daily devotion? do you choose and plan your own devotions, or do you not have a plan? And again, 76% of people use a daily devotional reading of some kind, and I wonder if that percentage is the same, because the people who read every day, they've got that way of making it their regular Bible reading habit to have a devotional reading to read. Personally, I follow an idea that comes from another book that I'm going to recommend. This one you can tell I've had for longer if you see it up close, because it's quite faded. But this book's called The Divine Mentor by Wayne Cordero. And again, it's a book I'd recommend for you to get. And it sort of teaches a pattern where you read a passage of scripture, you pick out one verse that you particularly feel God is speaking to you through, and then you write an observation about it and then an application for your life. Because it's really important we don't just read the word, but that we apply it to our lives. Then you write a prayer. And if you read the daily church devotions, which I write, you'll see this is the pattern that I follow. It's not the only way, though. So I wanted to ask James and Robin, so which of those three categories do you fit into? Do you have a daily devotion? Do you choose and plan your own? Or do you just not have a plan?
For me personally, I vary it. Sometimes I will have a word for the day and things like that type of devotion. But at the moment, I'm going through a Bible plan that actually reads the whole Bible. Meant to be in a year, I'm trying to do it in 6 months. And so those things for me are great, because for me personally, it means that, like, for example, I've been reading the book of Esther recently, and I didn't want to leave it just before the Jews got released. And so I ended up reading the next couple of chapters as well, just to make sure, and then he just ticked them off. And for me as well, to have a physical Bible, I've got a Bible on my computer, I've got loads of things, but one of the problems I find with the computer is that things just keep popping up.
Yeah.
And emails or my WhatsApp groups just keep coming up, whereas for my personal life, I like to read that paper Bible, so it's like I can just be completely immersed into it.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. This isn't about right or wrong, it's about different ideas. But I do think, you know, also when you have the physical Bible, you know where things are in relation to other things. When you just see it on a screen, you don't really know what went before and what comes after.
That's true.
The digital stuff is great. It really does have its uses. But I think there is something in that as well. So what about you, Robin? Do you have a plan? I'm guessing you do.
I do. A mixture of things, one and two. I never have where I don't have a plan. I either use quite often something called Every Day with Jesus, which is these Bible study notes here, which is really helpful, and that's a subject of pursuing God, so I'll use this. I like to use every daily scripture that I use, or readings from Angus Buchanan. I don't know if you've heard him. It's great for men if you're a man and you want to hear some great daily devotions. Angus Buchanan. I love the devotional notes that you do, Rachel.
I love this one at the moment.
Jesus is better. Yes. I love that. Love that title, Jesus is better. So I follow yours, and you've been a real blessing to us doing that. And Al's devotions that he's had.
So. Yeah, once a fortnight on a Friday.
Yeah, and so having a mixture of those things is great for me. Yeah. As a pastor, it's hard sometimes because you're having to study for the next sermon and all that kind of stuff, and you can just be studying for what you need to bring to the church, but it's really important to hear for yourself. So for me, a mixture of those things work really well. But not having a plan is not an option for me. But being creative, trying different things helps.
Yeah, I think what I'd say if you're using regular daily devotions, that just make sure that over a period of time you do get to read different parts of the Bible. It's very easy to pick and choose, and you end up reading New Testament a lot with the occasional Psalm, and Obadiah and all those just don't happen very often. So just make sure that you have that. And God can be gracious. God is gracious. And sometimes when we do read without a plan, we maybe just open the Bible and say, God, I just need something, and God is gracious in that, and that's okay for a one-off. But I would just encourage you, if you're one of these people who said, well, it's as and when I remember and I don't really have a plan, you know, make a thing this week of I'm going to get a plan. I'm either going to read the daily devotions, you can sign up to the Oasis ones, you can look at Angus Buchanan, you know, but get yourself a plan and try and get into it. And if you miss a day, don't beat yourself up and give up forever, you know, keep going. But we'll talk more about the habits later on. So, do you experience God speaking to you through the Bible? So 60%, a little bit less, said yes. 37 said sometimes. And 3%, which is very low, actually said no. And again, it would be interesting to know what method of Bible reading was being used by each of those groups of people. So, I mean, this could go on a very long time. So I'm going to kind of try and say, briefly, Robin, what is your experience of God speaking to you through the Bible? Can you give us maybe a specific example and what you felt? Because you say God speaks to you through the Bible, but how does that actually happen? What do you actually mean by that?
Okay, so in October 2019, I was preparing to go to Israel, take a team from here, and I wanted to study the Passion Week, the last week of Jesus's life on earth. I wanted to do it for myself. I wanted to think, I'm going to be there, I'm going to be in the land where Jesus was. And so I started to pick up the Bible and to start to study myself. And as I did, I felt God speak to me. I felt God, there were some certain areas where Jesus would have been, and I wanted to go there. And I started to feel that God revealed some stuff to me as I read those scriptures. So I was intentional on my reading, but listening to what God was saying and getting fresh revelation of really God in the land of Israel. So that was helpful for me, and I felt God did speak to me through those scriptures.
So if I can push it a bit more, when you say I felt, was it a physical feeling? Did God stick his finger down and pointed to, you know, what do you actually, I'm trying to unpack what that
is. So I've read those scriptures loads of times, but it's almost like it became real to me, like I was walking with Jesus in those days. And I envisaged myself being there, and Jesus being there and bringing some of those teachings. So it was almost like, it's difficult to say when I say God was speaking to me, but it was almost like I was there and ready to hear from God to speak to me. And I did feel God spoke to me, especially when he was talking about being prepared and that he was going to die. And I had this sense of how could Jesus go through that week? How did he make it? And so for me, it was like fresh revelation in my spirit of an understanding of Jesus' sacrifice for me.
So it's almost like reading something you've read before, perhaps hundreds of times, but having this, almost like reading it for the first time and having
Absolutely. That kind of, okay.
James, have you got anything to...
Yeah, when God speaks to me through the scriptures, it's like it's almost as though you're reading through it, and it's an impression then just gets onto your spirit. For example, a few weeks ago, I was reading through Nehemiah, and in Nehemiah, it's talking about the building of the wall. And they said they finished the foundations of the wall, and they did it with passion. Mm. And then that did it with passion, just sort of leapt off the page, and and it's like the Holy Spirit said, well, if they did it with passion, then the foundations have to be done with passion. What is the passion eaters in my life?
Yeah.
And it started on a journey then to start to spark off. And even with discipleship, what are the very passion eaters that stop us reading God's word or praying and things like that? The things that block us. And I think it's important. And so for me, as a person, God said, just look at my life and say, what is the very things that are stopping certain things happening?
Yeah.
And that's how God deals.
That's good, because you've applied that to your life, and you then sit or think, oh, hang on, what are the things that are destroying my passion?
Yeah.
Or passion eaters.
Yeah.
That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Passion eaters. Okay, we could talk a lot about that, but we're going to move on to talk about prayer a little bit. But hopefully that's given you an idea of what we mean when we say, I felt God speak to me through his word. And at the end of the day, that's only going to happen when we do it. You know, so let's do it. Just do it, we said last week, didn't we? So how often do you pray? We asked the question. And 71% said they prayed many times throughout the day. 23% said once or twice a day, maybe first thing in the morning, last thing at night kind of thing. 3% said, when I need help. Now, I just want to thank you for that honesty. That's great. And 3% said, I pray occasionally. And for me, one of the key factors about our discipleship journey is that this is a relationship with Jesus. It's not about behavioural change. When we get into a relationship with Jesus, our behaviour does change, or it should change. Excuse me, that should be one of the outcomes. But this is, it's the result. You know, the behavioural change is the result. And this is what makes prayer so important. It's part of our conversation with God. If we don't talk to him, we're not going to grow in our relationship with him. And, you know, how would you feel as a parent if your kids only spoke to you when they needed help? That's not a dig at the person who says they only pray when they need help. But just think of that from God's point of view. Your kids only go, Mom, when they need help. Sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? But, you know, it's nice to have conversation that doesn't revolve around help. First thing in the morning, last thing at night is great because that speaks of a discipline and a routine. And I'm going to give my day to God, and then I'm going to thank God for my day and commit my sleep to him. Those are really good patterns. But, you know, don't forget that God does, you know, he's awake the rest of the day as well. And we can pray to him throughout the day. And what this session is doing is trying to challenge you, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at. You might think, oh, I'm really good at this, and that's great. But let's try and push ourselves even more and even deeper. So how do you pray? And we gave people a list to choose from, all the options, and so there wasn't a percentage as such. But lots of people have a prayer list to work through. Some have a specific place to go where they pray. Some regularly pray with others. Some pray wherever and whenever they want to. Some have no plan or routine. I remember at the church I worked at before I came to Oasis, I had an office. I'm not saying that in any kind of complaint, because I don't now. But we had, it was, the offices were, used to be an old people's home. And so there was lots and lots of rooms all along a long corridor. And each of the rooms had a little room off it, which used to be an ensuite back in the day. So all of that had gone and they'd become a cupboard. So I had an office, which had quite a large cupboard with a window, and I made that into a little prayer room. And I used to get into work a little bit early, and I've got things stuck around the wall to remind me what I was praying for and encouraging scriptures and things. And I really enjoyed having that little prayer cupboard. No one used to come in. They used to poke their head around the door, oh, she's not in yet, not realizing there I was stuck in the cupboard. So obviously, you know, but things change. I'm not in that season now. And sometimes I'll pull over on my way to Redditch. I have quite a long drive. And sometimes I'll pull over on the way in the morning and find a place with a nice view. And my car will become my prayer space and my devotional space. And it's about changing when your life changes, when seasons change, doing things a bit differently. So what about you, James? What's your prayer pattern?
I believe it is important to pray with other people and to stand with other people, because I believe it's important for corporate prayer.
Yeah.
But for myself, 99% of my prayer, although I do pray with other people, is on my own.
Yeah.
So I go for a walk every day. I find that if I stay at home, there's always something that distracts me.
Yeah.
So I like to get out of my normal place. And it's even scriptural when we look at Jeremiah. He went out into the potter's place. He also Ezekiel, he went into the valley of the dry bones. And sometimes we have to go out, and for me, I go for a long walk. Usually I do my 10,000 steps a day, and I do the prayer at the same time, so yeah. I'm killing two birds with one stone. But also when I'm driving, I'm just thinking and praying, or when I'm riding the bike, I just have that time.
You don't shut your eyes then, though, do you?
No, I don't shut my eyes when I'm riding, no.
Yeah, but I think for you, what you've mentioned this a couple of times, it's about not having distractions.
Yeah.
And I think that is really important with all of this. Me shutting my cupboard is a way of avoiding distractions. Me shutting my car is avoiding distractions. I walk our dog a lot, so the same as yourself, you know, I do a lot of praying. The dog hears a lot of my prayers and says amen, I think. What about you, Robin?
I love to pray when I'm walking, mm-hmm. walking the dog. I love to pray when I'm in nature. When I'm walking with nature around me, I just connect with God. I love to pray. It's almost like I go into autopilot now. I was walking Joshua and Luma's dog the other day. They're in isolation and their dog needs walking, and at the back of them they've got a wood. And I was walking up there and I noticed so much wildlife. There were squirrels, there was rabbits, there was dogs, there was all kinds of things. And I just started to thank God for his goodness and his beautiful creation he's given us. I love the hills. I love to pray in Israel. But for me, outside is where I really, really connect. But when I was poorly, I couldn't go for walks. My office became a place where I would just play worship songs in my office and just sit in the presence of God. And that helped me a lot. But to be outside for me is the place I love to connect with God.
I think there's a theme there, but again, as Robin said, you've got to be flexible. It may not be possible. You might be stuck in home, you might be isolating, you might have children. I remember when I had my first child and like, oh my goodness, what happened to routine? You know, I thought it would be cool, but it really wasn't. And so I remember thinking, I'll get up early before children wake up. Bad idea, because we had a creaky floorboard on the landing, and you could just guarantee I'd only have to leave the bedroom, foot on the creaky floorboard, kids awake. So that just didn't work. And when my oldest daughter was a baby, she did used to go down for sleep in the day. So I thought, right, okay, what I'm going to do as soon as she goes down for sleep, I'm going to give God the next 10 minutes, you know, to pray and to do devotional, because at least I can kind of almost guarantee that. I had to change again as I had more children because you know what I'm saying. But what I'm trying to get over is, as the seasons of your life change and as things are different, you may have to change. This isn't about right or wrong. We've all said we enjoy walking and we connect with God that way. That may not be possible for you, but something will be. And you've got to find your thing. It might be you might be stuck in, but you have a specific chair and you think, right, that chair, when I sit on that chair, that's when I'm going to connect with God and I'm going to make sure there's no distractions. Maybe looking out the window, you know, whatever, you find your place and your way of doing it. And that's really important. So 100% of people said they believe that healthy habits are important for spiritual growth. 100%. So how many of us found healthy habits easy to maintain? I'd ask you to guess, but you know, because it's written down on the script. 30% said it was easy to maintain. 70% said no, it wasn't. And again, just want to thank you for being so honest with your answers. We know they're important. It's like going back to the chocolate. We know it's important not to eat too much chocolate. We know it's important to exercise. We know all that. But it's so difficult. It's so difficult. Why is it so difficult, Robin? I mean, why do you think it's difficult? Or are you going to say, well, I find it easy?
First of all, I think eating chocolate is a healthy habit.
Okay.
I love chocolate, so I think that's healthy. But for some people, it might not be. Anyway. Yeah, so for me, one of the biggest things is the distractions of mobile phone, emails. It's so easy to get into the fact that you've got a lot of people to see, you've got people to ring, you've got emails to reply to. I sometimes have over 70 emails a day, which is just mad.
Emailing Robin and you'll pray more.
Email me if you need to, please. But if you don't, then that's fine. And I think it's so easy because of the things that you need to do that you can easily get out of healthy habits. Because you, in all good intentions, you could be trying to help somebody or mustering that person. It's on your mind. But it's coming back to what's the most important, which is the presence of God for me. And so this morning, the first thing I did was I played that song, Reckless Love, in my office before I did anything else, and just sat and listened. Because for me, one of the things that helps me keep into a good habit, a healthy habit, is just listening to worship. So for me, it's the distractions, the phone calls, the emails, the many, many people that I try and help.
Mm-hmm. James?
For me personally, I think a lot of it is, where is your passion lies? And if you want to do something, you do it. And for me, I remember about 10 years ago, I lost just under 4 stone in about 7 months. And I remember I looked at a picture of myself and I didn't like the look of the picture of myself. And so I decided, I put it into motion that I was going to do something about it. And so I got up and I started to walk, and that's where I started to walk a lot more, and obviously pray as well at the same time. But then it's so easy for people to take you off track. Like, I remember going up to Christmas, and my wife said to me, "You can break your diet for Christmas, can't you?" And I thought, yeah. No, I can't. Because I'd already made that decision.
Yeah.
And it's so many times that we can start off the right track. I remember every year I go down the gym in January, for example, and it's packed.
Yes.
I don't like that time of the year because of that. And I can guarantee within about 2 weeks, it's back to empty again.
Yeah.
Because people decide to do something, but also they decide to do too much too quickly.
Yes.
And I think for healthy habits, we've got to start where we are and allow it to build. And stop comparing ourselves to other people as well, because then that gets us disillusioned.
Yeah.
And then if we're disillusioned, we break that habit. You know what I mean? If you read the writings of Wesley, when he gets up in the morning and he's praying for over 4 hours, I start to feel a little bit guilty. You know what I mean? I'm thinking to myself, you know, well, I must be a real sinner. I must be backsliding. I don't get it for 4 hours in solid.
Yeah.
But who do we compare ourselves to? And I think it's important when we develop these habits, set realistic aims and objectives, and aim for those and let them build.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And don't compare with other people. It's your walk with Jesus. The Bible says, yeah, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. I think, and you may find sometimes accountability with someone else helps.
Yeah, that's good.
I know this helps me. If I, so imagine our church daily devotions. I mean, you know, sometimes you'll have a crazy day, something happens, someone's in hospital, something's gone wrong, and you miss a day. You know, maybe these guys don't, but you know, it happens to me. But for me, I'm like, I need to keep doing my devotions because I'm sharing them with others. That's not the reason I do it, but it does help, because there's that sense of accountability. And you might say, I'm struggling with this, and you might talk in your life group and say, okay, as a life group, let's sort of keep each other accountable. Let's ask each other, how are we doing? How are we doing in our prayer life? How are we doing with our Bible reading? You know, maybe if you're not in a life group, you want to get with a friend and say, you know, can you just keep me accountable on this? Can you keep encouraging me in this habit, you know, because I'm struggling? Because I know for me, if I went on a diet and my husband said, oh, you can break your diet for Christmas, I'd go, thank you, darling, I love you so much. And that would be it. Because we're different, you know, and I would probably struggle with that more, you know. But yeah, so we've all got to find our own path and our own way, but we just want to challenge you, and hopefully we've given you some ideas of how you might do that. I think as well, as you begin to see, I mean, James, you said you lost 4 stone. It was probably got a bit easier as you started to see the weight come off because you saw the benefits.
It did, yeah. And obviously it encourages you more. And it's like with your Bible readings as well, exactly as you say, that you start to hear God more.
Yeah.
And you start to get a more of a connection with Jesus. And that's what he wants. Because everything we do is out of relationship. And if we haven't got the relationship back first, we can't get the ministry side of things or the walk or anything. Because it all stems from that fundamental of connecting with Jesus.
Yeah. Yes, I know for me, you know, I enjoy doing my devotions and I want to do it. You know, but sometimes that, I think I shared in the video that, you know, we need to eat our spiritual food, and sometimes that's like having breakfast and it feels like it's the same every day and you're like, really? Sometimes it's like a slap-up meal and it's really nice and it's beautiful food and it's God speaking to you. But, you know, both are just as important. If anything, it's the regular daily breakfast that's probably more important than the slap-up meal. So keep on reading your Bible, keep on talking to God. So I hope today that you will go away thinking, what can I do? What little thing can I change to help my relationship? Maybe you want to get hold of one of the books I mentioned or the devotions that Robin mentioned. Maybe you want to sign up to the daily devotions. Maybe you just want to say, where's my passion? You know, why do I want to do this? Find that passion to get to know Jesus more. But try something new. If you've used daily devotions, maybe try try planning your own devotion for a while. If you've been planning your own, maybe try a daily devotion. If you've been hopping a catch and as and when, you know, try and get some routine about it. But just do something this week. Maybe get in a group, keep yourselves accountable and encourage one another. Does anyone want to add anything that we think we might have missed?
Do the daily devotions that Rachel does and Al does. Men, if you haven't done it, sign up today. Just start. You'll really enjoy them. They're really good.
Thank you. James, do you want to pray for us as we come to a conclusion of this?
Of course. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're not going to beat us around the head or anything like that. All you want is relationship with us. And everything we are is about that. It's about connecting to you. That's the whole purpose of being a disciple, is about connecting to the King of Kings. And Lord, for those that are listening right now, I just pray that you'll just enhance their journey through your Holy Spirit, that you'll increase their passion, that, Lord, that whatever's distracting that you will break, that, Father, they'll each and every person that's listening right now will be able to get the key to unlock the potential of who they are in you. Father, as they do one step further and closer to you, Lord Jesus, let, Father, your word says we take it from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And Lord Jesus, I just pray as they look back, they'll realize, they'll see the steps of them growing in you, Father. Father, it's all about you. So right now, we give you the glory, you the praise. And so, Father, I just pray, anoint us afresh for this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.